chapter 3. And we're going to be here and there going around the Bible. James chapter 3 is where we'll start. We've been talking about the gift of speech and the proper use of that gift of speech. And this afternoon's message is going to deal with speaking too soon or saying too much, but really speaking too soon. And then next week is going to be two examples of people who spoke too soon in the Bible, and maybe a third example, and consequences, what it cost them. But we'll start today, James chapter 3, verse number 1. The Bible says here, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body." All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, this has been a big help to me. I hope it's helping others too. But I pray, Lord, today you'll once again impress upon our hearts the importance of keeping our tongue under control and the damage that can be done if we don't. So I pray, Father, you'll speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to learn these truths from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so the verse we just read tells us two things. First, the most difficult part of you for you to control, the most difficult part of me for me to control is this tongue. I mean, I can bring my whole body under subjection. That's possible. I don't run to places that I should not run to. I don't drink things that I should not drink. I don't watch things that I shouldn't watch. I don't listen to things I shouldn't listen to. I don't lay hold upon things I should not lay hold upon. When you get all of that worked out, there will still be something inside the mouth that just seems to be beyond our ability to control. People say, "Praise the Lord, I've been sober for 30 years. I haven't had a drink in 30 years. The next guy, he'll stand up and say, "Praise the Lord, I've been sober 20 years. I haven't done drugs in 20 years. Somebody else will stand up and say, "Thank God, our marriage was on the rocks, but we got it worked out. We've had 15 happy years of marriage. Praise the Lord." I tell you, you will never have somebody stand up and say, "Praise God, it's been 10 years since I sinned with my mouth." Because it is just so seemingly impossible. See what the Lord says. The same is a perfect man and able also to bridle. The whole body. Verse 3, "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." Now, I'm not a horse person, but I've gone horseback riding, and I've known people who have had horses, but a horse is an unruly beast. And that horse does not want that bit put in his mouth, because not only is it uncomfortable, but that bit is connected to a bridle, and if you want that horse to turn this way, you just yank the reins that way. And you want him to turn the other way, you yank the reins the other way. You want him to stop, you pull back on both of those reins. If it doesn't go along with that, it hurts the horse. And so you know what God said here? You have got to take extra measures to control that tongue. That you don't have to take with the rest of your body, okay? And the only way to ever really get control of the tongue is to properly understand that it is going to hurt if I don't use my ability to speak the way God wants me to. All right, verse number 4 says, "Behold, also the ship, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." So it's a great big ship, but it just takes a little small part of that ship to turn and to direct and turn it one way or the other. And so the tongue is just a very small part of our physical body. But it really goes in directions that are not proportionate to its size. It really can do great things or harmful things. As I said, way out of scale, way out of proportion to the size of that little member of our body. Verse number 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. It just starts out. Look, it's just one tiny little flame, one little matchstick. But that thing can burn down a house. It can burn up the woods. It can set the whole town on fire. It can spread through the docks and take out one ship after another. Just one tiny little spark, just one tiny flame, and look what great fire it can turn into. And the Lord said, that's your tongue. That's my tongue. Just a little word, just a little thing said that should not have been said, didn't need to be said, said the wrong way, said with the wrong tone, and sets the whole family on fire, sets the whole church on fire, burns your life to the ground. What a warning. Verse number 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Well, you know, you go over to a place like Central Florida, you know, it's not good enough to have Disneyland like they have over in California. They have to have Disney World. It's not good enough to have the sea right there. They got to have Sea World. It's not good enough to have Harry Potter. They have to have the world of Harry Potter. See, the idea of the world here, God putting that word world in this verse, is man, if you come here, if you come to this place, you're going to find it that it's huge. It's enormous. We're not talking about just a normal roller coaster. We're talking about Space Mountain. We're not talking about an aquarium. We're talking about a killer whale jumping out of that water and grabbing a fish out of somebody's hand. I mean, it's Disney World. It's Sea World. Look right in there between your teeth. Do you know what that is? That is iniquity world, according to what God told us. That's what God said. He said that tongue is iniquity world. It's like every rotten thing you can think of. It's right in there. It's right in that tongue. Real flattering, isn't it? What a thing. What a thing for God to say. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you want to go to a little park or do you want to go to Disney World? You want to go see a little fish tank or do you want to go to Sea World? Do you want to do something wrong or do you want to go to Iniquity World? The tongue is a world, amazing, a world of iniquity. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Wow. This is really tough, isn't it? Listen, I'm saved. I'm saved. I hope you're saved. And that means I know I'm never going to go to hell. But the Lord is saying that the closest thing to hell that you will ever experience is somebody's tongue running wild. I tell you, this is a serious thing, obviously. It says it defileth the whole body. So here you are, you have modest dress, okay? You've got on the prescribed amount of makeup, not too much, and you've done just enough with the hair and your face, and then something that you say can wreck all of that. You can get up, get dressed, get in the car, drive the car, And you don't drive to a bar, you drive to the church. You walk in, you don't have a dirty magazine, you have a Bible. And there you are in church, dressed right, right place, carrying the right book, and before you sit down, you can say something to somebody or about somebody to ruin that whole church service. Maybe tear the whole church to pieces. What did it? That little tongue, that little member that defiled the whole body. I'm telling you, it's amazing what the Bible says. The potential damage that can be done if we don't get it under control. Now look at verse number 7. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. Well, this book that we're reading was completed 50 AD, 60 AD, maybe 70 AD at the latest, somewhere in there. In other words, 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago. And guess what? 2,000 years ago, somebody had taught a dog to jump through a hoop. Somebody had taught a cockatoo to say words. Somebody had taught a parrot to ride a bicycle. Somebody had taught a bear to ride a unicycle. Somebody had taught an elephant to stand on one foot. The Bible says 2,000 years ago, been there, done that. It's been done. Somebody's already done it. All right, probably in the Colosseum at Rome. Siegfried and Roy, they had tigers jumping around until one of those tigers got fed up with it. But you understand, it's nothing new. Verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Wow, you know what God said? If you walk into a cage and there's a lion in there and you got a chair and you got a whip, you have a pretty good chance of coming out of that cage unharmed. You walk into that same cage and somebody's mouth is in there, you're in danger because nobody's ever figured out how to bring that animal under control. Isn't that amazing? Now, brother, come on. Brother, think about this. Here's a guy, he's sitting cross-legged, he's got a little flute, you know, and he's got his head wrap on, a turban, I think they call it a pagri, is that in India? He's playing the flute, and this serpent comes up out of the basket, mesmerized by that guy playing the flute. So, it's been done. Here's what the Lord said. Brother, if you woke up this morning and there was a viper in your kitchen, a deadly snake, and there was a wildcat in your living room, those things would not be as dangerous as your tongue. How about that? Sister, do I dare say it? Do I dare say it? The chances of a wild animal coming into your home and wrecking your marriage are very, very, very minimal. The chances of your tongue wrecking your marriage, that's off the charts. And what the Lord said. We are afraid of things that we should not be afraid of, and we're not afraid of things that we ought to be afraid of. You know, we need to learn to control this tongue. Amen. All right, let's go to chapter 1 in James. James chapter number 1. James chapter 1 and verse number 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So here's a clear statement from the Lord. We are, and I'm just trying to stay on our topic here, but here's a clear statement from the Lord. I should not be in such a hurry to just fire off the first words that pop into my head or the first emotions that rise up in my heart. I should be very, very careful about letting this fire loose, about letting this dangerous wild animal run loose. I ought to be slow, not slow of speech like Moses was, that's different, but not in such a hurry to say what you want to say. Okay, now, can I add to this, please? Can I add to this? Non-verbal communication would certainly be included, because these thumbs have become kind of an extension of the tongue in this day and age, haven't they? Okay, and also the keyboard, the computer keyboard has become in this generation an extension of the tongue. I have to tell you, as a general rule, if it is an unpleasant communication, I'll write that email. I'll respond. I'll write that text message. And but first, I'll show it to a brother. I'll show it to another pastor. I'll say to the Lord, and not necessarily in that order, but I'll say, would you read this? Is this okay? Do you think I ought to send it this way? Do I need to rework this before I send it? And almost every time, one of the three will say, you absolutely need to rework that. And almost every time, one of the three will say, you absolutely need to rework that. And then I'll let it sit for a few hours. I'll let it sit for a day. I'll go back, I'll look, and I'll say, oh yeah, I see it now. Wow, that was a fireball. That could have done some damage if I'd have sent that yesterday. That would have set that thing on fire. And so it needs to be toned down. I'm telling you, what we say with the mouth, what we would have said with our mouth, but instead we're saying with our electronics, it's all the same. It's all the same. So slow down. Slow it down. Before you let that wild animal out of the cage, are you sure that you can manage it? Are you sure that that's not going to cause some or hurt somebody? All right, before you sit down and start playing that flute, are you sure that that viper is going to like that tune that you're playing there? Before you start that fire. Before you start that fire, maybe you can remember a time when you were trying to burn something. Maybe burn some leaves, maybe get a barbecue grill started, and you underestimated how quickly that fire can spread. And before you knew it, you were running around trying to figure out how to put that thing out. It happens. Sometimes you just don't know. It just gets out of control. And we're concerned about that. Okay, because I don't want to burn the woods down. I don't want to burn the house down. I don't want to burn the pretty trees down. Well, why are we not that cautious and considerate about our mouth? Come on, brother. Come on, sister. Don't let it just run wild. All right, let's see what the Lord is talking about here a little bit more specifically. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18, and verse number 13. Proverbs 18, verse 13. You tell me we haven't all gotten in trouble along these lines. Verse 13, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and shame unto him. You say, well, how would I answer a matter before I hear it? Well, somebody's telling you something, and you can't wait for them to finish their sentence before you give your response or give your opinion or give a rebuttal. We all do it. Guilty, right? The Lord said, let the person finish. Get all the facts first. Or how many times have you heard someone say, let me give you an example. Brother A, he comes up to Brother B and he says, I think Brother C has said something about you, and I don't think you're going to appreciate what he said. And immediately, here comes the reaction. Immediately, here comes the condemnation. Immediately, here comes the defense. Well, how about, instead of just letting your tongue run wild, how about check with Brother C and find out the entirety of the matter before you strike the match, before you speak? Okay? But the Lord said you could get in a lot of trouble if you answer a matter before you hear it. Okay? Today, if you want to buy something, with all the surveys that people do and all the reviews that are available online, and you've got consumer reports and things like that, you can really check stuff out before you go out and spend money on something. And you can know pretty well, you can be pretty sure if that thing's any good or not because of that stuff. I mean, you can sit down for an hour and you can read reviews, who liked it, who didn't like it, what they liked about it, why they didn't like it, how long it lasted, why it broke, and you can make a very informed decision on whether you buy something or not. Well, you know what? It's better to hear the whole of the matter than to just say, I'll buy it. And it's too bad. It's too bad that we are more cautious to find out all the facts about a vacuum cleaner or a lawnmower or a new rifle or the durability of a new pair of shoes for our children than we are the reliability about the things that we're told that other people said or other people did or other people thought. Why don't you do some research and investigation before you just buy it? Okay? People tell us something about somebody else, or tell us something about a situation, or tell us about a preacher, about a church, and we just click the button. I'll buy that. I'll buy that. You know what the Lord said? Back off. Slow down. Get all that you can about the matter before you say something about it with your lips or with your keyboard. All right, let's go to chapter 10 in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10. This is a tough verse for preachers. Verse 19. Proverbs 10, verse 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. So I guess that means a short sermon is better than a long one, right? Fewer words. That's why I said it's tough for preachers. But anyway, it just stands to reason, right? My heart is not 100% true. Your heart is not 100% true. My thoughts are not 100% godly. Your thoughts are not 100% godly. My ways are not entirely righteous. Your ways are not entirely righteous. So, does it not stand to reason that if I say 10 things today, one of them is probably going to be some type of sin? Well, if I say 100 things, 1,000 things, 10,000 things, I'm greatly multiplying my chances of sinning with my mouth, if you understand what I'm saying. Okay, so we got this virus thing going on all over the world. I guess that's what they're telling us. And you know, they say everybody's at risk. That's what they're saying. And so they're trying to limit contact. Because if you come in contact with two people today, there's a chance you could get this virus. But if you come in contact with 1,000 people today, there's a much greater chance that you could get it, correct? So that's the idea. If I just talk all day long and I never stop talking, my chances of saying something that I should not have said are way up there. If I just limit, just kind of scale it back, I have a much better chance of not crossing the line. Okay? Proverbs 15 is next. Proverbs 15 and verse number 28. Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Let's make a practical application here to our spiritual activities for the Lord. A man gets saved, and that's a blessing because he's been unsaved for 25 years. For 25 years, this man has spoken with anger, with pride, with self-confidence. He's spoken in ignorance, and he knows little or nothing about the Bible. And we say, we're going to go out Saturday night. Let's go out there and let's go to this public event. Let's witness to people in this area for Jesus. And that man, he's saved. He's all in. He wants to get out there. He wants to do something for the Lord, as did I when I was a young Christian. And do you not suppose that in the third or fourth or fifth conversation, if that man talks to enough people long enough, something is going to come out of that new Christian's mouth, that came out of that heart, because he's not put in sufficient study in his heart to give a proper answer with his mouth. I'm not trying to discourage people from witnessing now. I'm telling you that what is in our heart, if it is not properly prepared, it's going to work its way out of this mouth. One time there was a young fellow. He was passing out gospel tracts at a grocery store parking lot to people coming to the grocery store. And this guy was around 22 years old. And this little lady got out of her car. She's an old lady, so that means she was a little old lady. That's what she was. A white hair, got her pocketbook in her arm, gets out of the car, came walking toward the front of the grocery store. And the young man, he'd only been saved a few weeks. He walked up, big smile on his face, Bible under his arm. He said, "Ma'am, can I give you some good news about Jesus Christ? It's the gospel." And she said, "Get away from me. I don't want that." And instantly he said, "Then go to hell." That's what he said. He said, "Then go to hell." Oops. You know why he said that, though? Because that's what he'd been saying for 15 years when somebody upset him. And now he's saved and somebody upset him. And guess what came out of his mouth? What was in his heart? Brother, sister, are you having a little trouble at home in the marriage? Do some study of your heart before you open your mouth. Brother, are you having a conflict in the church? Sister, did you have a falling out with somebody? Well, don't keep looking at your watch, waiting for the next time I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Careful. There might not be many pieces left. Get your heart, study in your heart how a Christian is supposed to speak, and then you're ready to give the right answer when you find yourself in one of those situations. I tell you, too many people, their mouth just pours. It's just an outpouring pouring. And the Lord said, you're better off if it's just a trickle than you would be if it's an outpouring. All right, one more stop this afternoon, and that's in Ecclesiastes, chapter number 5. Ecclesiastes is after Proverbs. Chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. What a great, great passage we're going to look at here. Ecclesiastes 5, verse number 1. Everybody got it? Verse 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Okay, what do you mean, the house of God, giving the sacrifice of fools? Well, here we go, verse number 2. Be not rash with thy mouth. How do you like those words? Be not rash with thy mouth. Some of you, you've got babies, you've got little children. You know what a rash is. It's something that breaks out all over the place. So, you know what the Lord said? Don't have a mouth that breaks out all over the place. How do you like that? Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. You say, what do you mean? All right, we're going to have a song service, and we're going to open the song book, and whatever number the song leader calls out, we're going to sing that song. And in a church like ours, we're going to sing all of the verses, every one of them. And these verses, they talk about witnessing and giving and sacrificing and loving the Lord and doing our best for others. And service after service, we just let those words pour out of our mouth before God. God's listening. And you say, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that is that we don't mean half of the words that we're singing. We tell God in song, in his house, that we're going to do things that we have no intention of doing. You know what the Lord said? You need to be careful about that stuff. Because he said, I don't take any pleasure in those sacrifices of praise if you don't mean it. If you're not going to do it. And then we'll hear preaching. We're not against, you know, we're not against what they call the altar call. We're not against it. We're not against what they call the invitation. We, in a restricted, minimal kind of way, we do that sometimes. But we're not for it. We're not against it, okay? But what I'm telling you is, if you hear a sermon on controlling your tongue, and you say something, you know, you don't keep your feet, you get on your knees, and you say to God, audibly or inaudibly, you say to God, God, that's true. I agree with that. From now on, I'm going to study before I speak. From now on, I'm going to hear the matter before I respond. From now on, I'm not going to be so hasty with my lips. God says, don't tell me that if you don't mean it. And if you think you mean it, why don't you just give yourself some time to think it over first. Look, I'm not telling you not to pour out your heart to God. I'm not telling you not to ask God for help. But asking is better, right? That's what I'd do. I would ask God for help in these things. Okay? I wouldn't make God all these big promises about how spiritual I'm going to be and how I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Because I heard that sermon, What I have found in 30 plus years of being saved, what I thought was a life-changing sermon didn't really change me all that much. I wish it wasn't true, but you know, it's that old flesh, you know. Look at verse number 3 here. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. Now that doesn't mean if you preach all day and you witness all day and you sing praise to the Lord all day that you're a fool. No. It just says if somebody is a fool, the more that they talk, the more evidence there's going to be that they are a fool. And if you're wise, you know, it goes on the other end as well. If you're wise, the more you talk, the more evidence there will be that you are wise. So the Lord, he's just saying, make sure that you know your heart before you expose what is in your heart to everybody around you. Verse number 4. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it, that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. All right, and now here's a great, great verse to finish up with today. You ready for us? Verse number 6. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. So, tying this with our starting verse, feet under control, check. I'm not going to go to the wrong place anymore. Legs under control, check. I'm walking on the narrow road. Hands under control, check. I'm not reaching for things. I'm not laying hold on things that I shouldn't lay hold on. Ears under control, check. I'm not listening to that rotten stuff anymore. Eyes under control, check. I'm not watching that. And all of it goes for naught if I don't get this mouth under control. Whew. That's some powerful, powerful truth from the Bible. Terribly convicting for me, maybe for you also. Let's not make any promises to God now. But let's bow our heads today and say this. Lord, those verses are absolutely true, and they're true of me, and I know I need to be more careful. And I need you to help me. Get the victory over this unruly member that I have. It's little, but it causes so much trouble. God, help me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we agree with what you say in the Word. We know it's true. And I pray, Lord, you will be there to help us as we are faced with situations where we may want to just speak our mind, as they say, and let the ugly stuff come up out of our heart without giving it any thought. Lord, we pray that you'll help us to put a check on those things, to remind us to control, to wait, to study things out first and make sure we know the whole truth before we respond to things. Lord, we need your help in this, and we ask for it today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Brother Joel.